But right now, we've been looking forward to this for a while now. We talk about so many travel stories, stories in the air. We've had a pilot's roundtable. We thought we would have a flight attendants roundtable. And joining us in our ticket studios, Stephanie Hansen, who has been flying now for 6 years with American Airlines, based here in Dallas, grew up in Denver, Colorado. She is one of our flight attendants in studio. Morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming up here.
Well, thank you for having us.
And Jeffrey Ewing, who is a 21-year veteran, originally from South Florida, but now based here in Dallas-Fort Worth, and a flight attendant for American Airlines. Thank you, Jeffrey.
You're welcome. Good morning.
Are you related to Patrick Ewing?
You know what? No, I wish I was.
But, Ewing!
There's a similarity. You guys look alike.
A little bit.
A little bit. That's about all I got, right?
All right, so we've got so many questions for you. Stephanie, we'll start with you. Is this one of the things, like, I remember kids that I grew up with that dreamed of this job. Was this your dream job, to be a flight attendant?
To be perfectly honest, no, not at all. My mom tried to talk me into doing this for a long time, and I was like, no, I'm not ready. I wasn't ready for the commitment, because I knew that once I started this, maybe subconsciously, that I'd never stop.
Yeah.
So when she finally did talk me into it and I put in the application, I got on the plane for the first time and I was like, yep, this is it. That's
because your mom was in the airline industry.
She's been in the airline industry since I was like 5 years old. So it's in my blood.
Okay.
So why were you scared that you would never stop? I mean, it's not like the mafia.
It's well, you'd like to think that, right? No, it is something that gets in your blood, the traveling and the lifestyle of it all. It definitely gets in your blood, and once you get in, it's really, really hard to get back out.
Why is that?
I think the draw of the lifestyle is just like nothing you've ever known before as far as traveling, and there's no consistency in your life anymore. So if somebody is ever dreaming of doing this, I mean, you have to realize that there's going to be no morning coffee and afternoon nap. I mean, your schedule is all over the place all the time. So once you get accustomed to that lifestyle, there's no turning back.
Well, and too, I think it's a lot of camaraderie. Like, you meet a lot of really cool people from all over the world, you know, passengers, but your coworkers, and you build lifelong bonds. And so you do that and you're just like, okay, where am I going today? Oh, okay. So we're headed to Paris, or we're going to Sao Paulo. So what are we doing when we get there? Because I'm now your best friend for 3 days. So that's how we do it.
How'd you get into it? Was it something you always wanted to do? Or?
Well, it's one of those things. Growing up, we had a family friend that was a pilot for Pan American. And so it was one of those things, you know, we'd go to the airport. I'd see him in a uniform, or, you know, talking about airplanes and stories. And they're coming back from Hong Kong and things like that. And I'm like, you know what? That's really cool. I'd love to do that. And so first airplane ride in 1991. And here I am all these years later.
You know, to me, it's always seemed like the best thing about being a flight attendant, the perks of being able to fly wherever you want for free or for very little, I guess, on another airline. You have to pay just a little bit. You can travel the world
right. Basically
for free. Is that the best perk?
It's one of them, yeah. And I'm not going to lie, but a lot of times the way it works for us is if there's a seat available, we get that seat. Mm-hmm. There's no seat available, you sit around and you wait. So a lot of times when I go back to South Florida to see my folks, I'll have to take a jump seat where flight attendants are sitting, basically.
Right.
So I'm sitting with the crew, or I just have to kind of wait. If I'm traveling with someone who's not at my priority when we're traveling, then I have to wait for a seat for them. So it can be a little bit cumbersome, but it's not too bad.
Yeah. Speaking from experience, you know, my mom was in the airline industry, so I non-revved since I was 5 years old. Well, now that I'm a flight attendant and I have the ability to take that jump seat, it opens up a whole new world, because even if that flight is full, there are jump seats that I can take. But like you said, if you're traveling with somebody, that's out of the question. But as far as non-revving, it's not all it's cracked up to be anymore. I mean, the cost, and these flights are always full. If anybody flies, they know.
That is something, yeah.
It's
they're all jammed,
packed in there. You cannot move.
How much do they overbook flights? Is it by 10%? Is there a rule?
I don't know that there's an actual, well, there's a number, I'm sure, but we don't know what that number is. So some days your flight's overbooked by one. Some days, you know, if it's weather or cancellations, it could be overbooked by 50. I mean, you just, not overbooked, but standby list wise. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, tons of people. There's a cancellation before my flight. You never know. But I just go to work and, hey, plan for it to be full, and if it's not, I'm surprised. So.
Yeah, and if it's not overbooked, I mean, it's a rarity, because they would never tell us the actual percentage, because we'd share it over the radio and everybody would know.
Never get mad. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
All right, Stephanie and Jeffrey, our flight attendants roundtable here on the ticket. You mentioned it's interesting to me, because as a passenger, it's still magical to all of us that we start in Dallas and maybe we wind up in L.A. that day. If we go to Cowboys camp or when we go on vacation, we go somewhere else. You still get that feeling like, wow, starting my day in Dallas, and you mentioned Paris, Jeffrey, overseas,
yeah,
and you end up there, and maybe you're there for a couple of days. That magic doesn't wear off with you?
Not really, no. I mean, you prepare for it in a certain sense, right? So I know I'm going to be on an airplane. Let's say I'm going to Europe or Asia. You know, I know it's 8 hours, 9 hours, and I'm going to be constantly, like, in the spotlight, doing my thing, taking care of people. Safety's paramount, right? So we think about that. We do that every day. And but when I get there, I'm on the crew bus, falling asleep for the hour ride to the hotel, but then I get in, I take a nap, and I'm like, hey, where are we going? What are we doing?
And you can go see the sights for a couple of days, generally.
Go to the Eiffel Tower, Champs-Élysées, whatever we're going to do. And, like, you and your friends, you know, I mentioned that best friend thing for 3 days, and you go out, you do that, you have a blast.
It's do you really guys cool. party like waiters and waitresses do?
Define party.
I don't know. I just always assume that.
Some of you guys are pretty wild. I don't know if it's quite that wild.
Hang out
but
with the pilots.
We definitely have a good time on layovers. Yeah,
we
That's one of the objectives when we go on layovers, is everybody's like, okay, where are we going? Where are we meeting? Who's buying drinks?
Right. Who's buying dinner? Where are we going? You know, in every city is different. So it's great, because you can go to Paris, or you're in London, or, you know, you're in New York, or you could be in Houston. It, you know, it doesn't matter where you're at. You're always going to have somebody on the crew that wants to go and do something, and they're there to have a good time. So let's do it.
Are either of you married or in a long-term relationship, and how does this job affect that?
Yes, I recently got married. I've been married for about a year and a half. I met him while I was on the job.
Right.
Oh,
on.
You did?
Yeah. Yes. Well, not on the airplane. I actually met him going in to buy a phone at AT&T, but
while you were in a different city?
No, actually in Fort Worth here. So
well, how's that on the job? I'm confused now.
I know. Well, while I was working for American,
okay,
I met him. So he's never known anything else as far as me being gone. But it does take a certain amount of trust, as we can see with fellow flight attendants.
Yeah.
Relationships, it's really hard on relationships. You have to have trust, has to be the main objective in your relationship, because if you don't have trust and you're traveling all the time, it's only a matter of time before everything falls apart.
Yeah, and I agree. But for myself, you know, I'm currently single, which is fine. You know, it is what it is, but trust is a big thing. But I think it's good too, because you get time away. Like, I can put that uniform on, grab my bags, drive to the airport, and I'm out. I'm like, see you in 3 days. You know, so it's great, because you're not constantly there every single day. So I've become accustomed to that in, you know, the career that I've chosen and what I'm doing.
So you like a little space in a relationship.
Here and there. But it's also nice to come home and I'm like, hey, guess what? I'm now home for 4 days. So you're stuck with me for 4 days.
Yeah,
so I think they're kind of happy. You know, if my partner's kind of happy, he's like, yeah, 3 day trip, let's go.
Yeah. My husband and I always joke around. Okay, I'm ready to miss you now.
Yeah.
We'll see you later.
I'm guessing it's a seniority thing, but it sounds like every flight attendant would want the trips to Paris, would want the routes to all the exotic locations. How long do you have to work at your particular airline to work your way up to where you get your choice of routes?
Well, coming from the junior flight attendant here at 6 years, seniority is something at American Airlines that it's not at anywhere else, because American Airlines has been around for so many years. And now that we have U.S. Airway flight attendants in our grouping, we have flight attendants that have been flying for 40 plus years.
Wow.
So seniority, 6 years is a drop in the bucket. So it usually, I think in DFW, and it depends on where you're based, what you can hold as far as your flying schedule, but I would say international would probably go at close to 30 years here in Dallas.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, it just depends. So for this month, June, with our bidding system, the way I bid, I'm actually flying to Lima, Peru. So purser, which is like a cabin lead type position, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also a Spanish speaker. So I held Lima this month, and then also a Santiago, Chile trip.
¿Dónde está la biblioteca en Santiago?
Very little.
In Santiago?
Very, very little.
Hay muchas. Hay muchas bibliotecas.
Sí.
But it just depends. So you have different qualifications. If you speak a language, that's certainly going to help you. But, you know, as Stephanie said, if you've been flying for 5 years, you may be flying Montreal and not Paris. But there's different, you know, things that happen. So we have is a reserve system. So when you're on reserve, you're on call. So they basically call you at home and say, hey, guess what? You're going to Fort Lauderdale tonight at 4:30. Be at the airport at 3 p.m., whatever
it
is.
Or Hong Kong.
Or Hong Kong.
And if you're on call, you have no choice.
You have no choice. Yeah. And if you don't want to fly international, hey, guess what? You're on reserve. You're going.
Do you like that, though? Because that's kind of exciting.
Sometimes.
You never know when you're going to get a call to go wherever.
Yeah, like spin the wheel. Where am I ending up?
Yeah, the first couple months, it's really exciting. And then
you're hoping you don't get that call.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it just depends. And so, yes, a lot of people do want those, you know, the long haul routes. And so because you do one flight there, you have a decent layover, you do one flight home.
Yeah.
Right? It's not up and down all day long. But, you know, you have to put your time in. You have to go through that whole process of, hey, I've been here for 21 years and I still can't hold Paris. I just have to pick it up. If somebody wants to get rid of their trip and I'm like, hey, and I'm there and I'm quick enough on the computer, I can pick it up. But otherwise, you know, it just depends.
All right,
it really does.
I want to hear about worst behavior that you've seen on a plane, because you guys have to put up with a lot when you're having to do some conflict management. You have people clipping their toenails up on the tray. You have people changing babies sometimes, I would assume. Mm-hmm. What's the grossest thing you've seen on a flight?
Well, this actually goes to a flight attendant that he claimed himself as a passenger troll. So he decided that he was tired of passengers coming back in the lav without their shoes on, because I think everybody here can agree that is disgusting.
We have a guy in the station that does it.
Ugh. Goes to the bathroom without shoes on?
Yeah. Well, yes. Wears no shoes on the plane.
Which one is that?
Oh.
Norm. He's not in the studio.
I don't want to know.
He's not here.
Okay. It's Norm. His name is Norm.
So he poured just a little bit of water in between the two lavs so that when passengers would come back, they weren't wearing any shoes, they would step in that water, and he told them that an elderly lady came back and couldn't hold it any longer.
So that
ridded them of the desire to not wear shoes into the lav.
Yeah, it's just when you think you've seen everything, there's one more thing. And you're like, yeah, I didn't think about that, but here we are. So I think mine is like a physical altercation between a couple. And it wasn't fun. So someone, I don't remember who hit who, but then somebody bit the other one and they were bleeding and part of the ear had come off.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's you'd be surprised. You'd really be surprised.
Oh.
So they were arrested, I guess.
Well, we landed and let them off.
Did it force you to go to another location?
We did. We diverted and they were, they had help when they walked off the airplane.
You know what we ought to do since we're up against it? We ought to get into the topic of air rage.
Yes, okay. And air drinking and what your take is on about people drinking on planes.
We got alcohol questions because Gordon has a problem with that.
Yeah,
so we need to find out more about that. All right, our flight attendants roundtable continues in a moment.